Have you ever been lied to? And I'm not talking about the sort of little lies, you know, I didn't eat that last bit of chocolate cake, Merlin. I don't know who took that. I'm talking about lies that are a bit more significant in our lives. Well, I was lied to this week. Not a major lie, really, in the grand scheme of things. But it did affect two evenings of my week and caused me to go about and do things that would have been unnecessary if this person hadn't lied to me. And what happened was, very simply and quickly, as point of illustration, is I'd put on Gumtree that there was a single bed that was free. And, first person who gets in touch is welcome to have it. So I had an email from a guy, and he said, yes, I'd like it. And my understanding was that he said he'd be there Monday night to pick it up. So brought the bed into the lounge, had it all ready, waited around, and he didn't show. So I emailed him, just put it down to misunderstanding, and he assured me he'd be there on Tuesday night. So Tuesday night came. I had to go out on Tuesday night for 8 o'clock, so I was hoping he would be there in time. Got home, had an email from him on my phone, just about there, won't be long, just around the corner. Time went by, still no sign. So 8 o'clock came, I thought, okay, I know what I do, he's probably just got delayed in traffic, benefit of the doubt. So I put the bed outside the front door, emailed him and said, you know, it's just there, help yourself. So came back at 10:30, and what was in front of my door? The bed. So again, I lugged the bed inside, back in the lounge, much to Merlin's delight, and there it remained. And emailed him to say, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to let somebody else have the bed. Somebody else said, I'll be there Friday night at 5:30. So I got everything ready, 5:30 came, up he turned, put it in the back of his car, and off he drove. Just a point of illustration, really, that lies affect us. You know, they affect what we do. And if we've been deceived by a lie, it affects how we go about things. And today we're continuing a series on respectable sins, as Mike has introduced. And we're thinking about a sin, and most sins do actually, but particularly on this one, a sin that comes as a result of a great big lie. And a lie that the world and us has bought into. And that sin is the sin of selfishness. Selfishness. You see, selfishness is the result of believing a lie. It's the result of believing the world when it says that looking out for number one is the way to happiness, fulfillment, and riches. If you look out for yourself, if you put yourself first, that's the way to get ahead in life. And I'd like to contend this morning that that is a lie. That actually selfishness, looking after number one, is the way to sadness, loneliness, and poverty in your life. Selfishness leaves a trail of devastation, of broken creation, broken relationships with other people, and especially broken relationship with God. If you think about it, broken creation. We've all seen the pictures of creation being exploited for selfish gain. Forests being chopped down unsustainably. That's led to flooding and people losing their lives and famine and all sorts of things. That's just one example. Broken relationships with people. Selfishness leading to broken marriages, broken families, and bad relationships with work colleagues, for instance. And particularly, selfishness leading to a broken relationship with God. Missing out on a relationship with our Creator, who offers life to the full, and instead living for ourselves, putting ourselves first, leading to empty lives and ultimately death and hell. That's where selfishness, I would contend, leads us. You see, the Bible teaches us the truth. The Bible doesn't lie to us. And it tells us that we are not just highly evolved animals, where the strongest survive by ultimately looking out for number one, but that we were created by God to live in relationship with Him and with each other. And that actually selflessness, not selfishness, is the key to a full and rich life. The principle that God teaches us in the Bible is not that the first shall be first, but actually that the first shall be last. In Mark chapter 10, and this is one of those great passages. The Bible is wonderful because, as I said, it's full of truth. It doesn't leave out the bad parts. The disciples weren't these perfect men, you know, who did everything right. And in this particular part of the Bible, they're arguing with each other about who's the greatest. And two of them have gone to Jesus and said, you know, Lord, when your kingdom comes, I want to sit on the left and my brother wants to sit on the right. Selfish attitudes. And Jesus corrects them. And in chapter 10 of Mark, verse 43, this is what he says. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That is countercultural, counterintuitive to how we come into this world and what this world teaches us. And Philippians 2, which Mike read to us, thanks Mike, explains this more fully for us as Paul writes to the Philippians about what it means to live in community and to live selflessly. So we're just going to go through this passage and establish a bit of the truth that the Bible teaches us about selflessness. And then I want to look at some practical examples in our lives of where selfishness really affects us and we have to be really careful. So first of all, Philippians 2, verses 1 to 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, that's in unity, and of one mind. And basically, very quickly and simply, what Paul is saying there is if you have truly been impacted by the love of Christ and the love of Paul, then you will love each other in the same way, in unity, and as Christ has loved you and as Paul, I have loved you. This is what he's saying to the Philippians. And that's the same lesson for us. If Christ's love has really impacted us, if the love of our leaders has really demonstrated to us the love of Christ, then we will love each other in the same way. The Bible's very clear on that. If you can't love other people, then you haven't really understood what Christ's love has done for you. You can't have. Because if you understand what Christ has done for you and how much he loves you, you can't hate other people. You can't be in disunity with other people. It just doesn't stay together. The Spirit wouldn't allow that to be. Yes, we fall into it, but we couldn't stay there for long because of what Christ has done for us. And then some key verses really about selfishness. So verse 3, do nothing from rivalry. And in the NIV, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. So do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Think about that line for a minute. In humility, think of others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. In these couple of verses here, we've got some instruction on living and also a great definition of what it means to be selfless. And we're just going to look at those first. So do nothing from selfish ambition. There's nothing wrong with being ambitious, is there? There's nothing wrong with having ambition. It helps us achieve things in our lives. Someone may have an ambition to be a doctor, may have an ambition to visit Africa, say. ambition to get married, maybe an ambition for a promotion at work. And these ambitions are not actually bad in themselves. They're okay, they're good things. But those same ambitions become selfish ambitions when someone seeks to achieve them without any consideration for anybody else at all. We're going to achieve my ambition. I don't care how it impacts anybody else. That's what I'm going to do. That's when an ambition becomes selfish. But it says, instead, in humility, count others more significant than yourself. That's huge, isn't it? I mean, that's an amazing definition, a great definition of what it means to be selfless, to count other people more significant than yourselves. And if we reverse it, it gives us a great definition of selfishness. Selfishness is when you count yourself more significant than other people. Your desires more significant than others' desires. Your interests of greater importance than other people's interests. Your ambitions overruling other people's ambitions. Your opinions squashing other people's opinions. You consider yourself greater than those around you. And then we have further instruction, because what does that mean? How do we balance that out? Because obviously we do have our own needs and our own interests. And as I said, there's nothing wrong with that. So does being selfless mean we just completely ignore our own desires? That we don't think about them at all? We always just put other people's above ourselves? Well, no, in verse 4, it balances out, doesn't it? Verse 4 explains how we balance others' needs and our own. A selfless life is one that looks not only to our own interests and our own needs, but also to the interests of others. It considers both. It's a balanced thing. And then verses 5 to 8 may be the most helpful verses in this passage, because it tells us that Jesus is the ultimate example of how to live a selfless life. Jesus is God. He was enthroned in heaven, Lord of lords and King of kings. And he gave that all up in order to come to earth to be a man and to die on the cross for us. He didn't have to do that. That was a selfless action, a great demonstration to us of what it means to live a selfless life. And the reality is, guys, this is true for me, as everyone, we cannot live that sort of life on our own, under human effort. We're not going to be successful. And verse 5 is a wonderful verse for us, because it says there, have this mind, that is the selfless mind among yourselves, this mind that is like Christ's. But it goes on to say, which is yours in Christ Jesus. See, it's only through Jesus' help, through the Holy Spirit working in our lives, that we're able to begin to live that sort of life. Jesus working in us. These verses tell us that although Jesus is equal to God, he said he gave all of that up. And although we are equal in worth to others around us, we are called not to hold on to that, but be willing to give up that equality, as the word says in this passage, to empty ourselves and take the form of a servant to those who are around us. This is especially talking about Christian brothers and sisters. This is who Paul is writing to here, the Philippian church. That we should be able to empty ourselves, consider others as more important, and consider their interests above our own. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, Paul says some words that just again demonstrate what Jesus did when he says this, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And this is what Paul is saying in this passage in Philippians, is he wants us to cultivate that same frame of mind as Christ, who we love. To live selfless lives, to put others before ourselves. And the result in verse 9 and 10 of Jesus' humility and selflessness was our salvation. was God's blessing on humanity and the result of us, his people, living in selfless community with God is the same, is a healed creation rather than a broken one, is fruitful relationships with people rather than damaged relationships with people, and is a fruitful relationship with God and his great blessing on our lives. If you like, that's the sort of truth, the counter-truth of the Bible against how the world says we should live. Rather than putting number one first as the way to success, putting other people first. And this series that we're doing is based on a book by a guy called Jerry Bridges. And he points out four practical areas where selfishness really impacts us. Where, I guess you could say, we fall foul to that lie that putting ourselves first is the best way. So I just want to quickly highlight those four key areas for our consideration in our lives. The first one he highlights is selfishness with our interests. Philippians 2 verse 4, which we read, says, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." And yet, we have a tendency, don't we, to be very interested in our own affairs and our own interests, and to maybe not take as much interest in those of the people around us. He gives a really good test for us to try, and I think this is really helpful. A good test. So if you just consider your conversations, maybe after church, or maybe you've been out for a meal with someone or another couple, just reflect back on the conversation that you've had in that day or after church. How much of it was it about yourself and your interests? How much were you the focus of the conversation? And how much did you genuinely want to know about the interests of other people, of that person you were talking with? Was it just you listened for the sake of it, or because you had to, or did you take a genuine interest in their interests? You see, selfishness is a symptom of self-centeredness. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 to 5 says that in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. And we are in the last days. And loving of self is a key issue in our world today. Lover of self is a good description of a selfish person, someone who is self-centered. And at the extreme, a self-centered person cares little for the interests, needs, or desires of other people. It's only really interested in their self, and their conversation reflects that. So, firstly, selfishness with our interests. The second area he points out is selfishness with our time. And he reads this great illustration, which I'm going to read to you straight from his book because I think it's helpful. A student asks her roommate for help with an assignment, but the roommate is busy studying for an exam. Will she give up precious time to help her roommate, or will she guard it for herself? Or will she take time to help, but do so in a reluctant manner? And what about the first student? Is she acting selfishly to ask her roommate for help when she knows the roommate is busy studying for the exam herself? We can be selfish by inordinately guarding our time, and we can also be selfish in unduly imposing on another person's time. In either case, we are thinking mainly about ourselves and our own needs. I thought that was quite a good illustration of both sides of things. Two points of view there. Both of those students having the opportunity to be selfish in sort of different ways. He gives another great example within families. You know, within most families, there are certain responsibilities that are divvied up, that people do different jobs and different things in the house to help us live out the week. And oftentimes, there can be a reluctance to step outside one's normal responsibilities to help someone else with their jobs. That's not my job. I said that many times to my mum about my brother. You know, can you help your brother do the dishes? It's not my day. We feel no sense of compassion towards one who is overwhelmed at the time. To say, you know, don't worry about it this week, I'll take care of that. Galatians 6 verse 2 says we should bear one another's burdens, and in so doing we shall fulfill the law of Christ. It's quite funny this morning because as I was preparing this message, it was quite frustrating actually, because I was reading all about selfishness, and as I was jotting down some of these final notes, the dog threw up in the kitchen. And I was sitting there in this great conflict. The sermon's really important. Merlin's going to have to come down and pick up that sick. Why am I speaking on selfishness? Now I have to get up and go and wipe it up. And it just illustrated to me, you know, maybe if I hadn't been preaching on selfishness, I probably would have left it there. So selfishness with our time. You know, it's easy to be, isn't it? The next thing he points out is selfishness with our money. 1 John 3 verse 17 is a very short but very challenging verse. It says, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother or sister in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" Closes his heart against him. I think that's a really challenging saying, isn't it? Because that's effectively what we do when we see someone in need and we're able to help and we don't. We're closing our heart. We are called to cultivate hearts of compassion to those in need and put that compassion to work through giving. Every pound we receive is a gift from God. We are to be good stewards of this gift and not consume all of it or most of it ourselves and our own needs. To do so is to be selfish with our money while ignoring the needs of others. You know, selfishness is the opposite of being generous, isn't it? To be selfish is the opposite of being generous. We're called to be generous as God's people to those who have needs around us. And finally, he points out inconsiderateness. And this is a very big part of selfishness. The inconsiderate person never thinks about the impact of their actions on the people around them. The person who is always late and keeps others waiting. The person who talks loudly on their cell phone to the disturbance of others nearby on the bus or the train. The teenager who leaves mess on the kitchen counter for mum or dad to pick up. Anytime we do not think about the impact of our actions on other people, we are being selfishly inconsiderate. We are thinking only of ourselves. We're not putting other people as more important than ourselves. Whereas the unselfish person, the person with the heart of Jesus, is always balancing his or her own needs and concerns with the needs and concerns of those around them. The selfish person is not only indifferent to the needs of others, but actually expects them to always meet their own needs. Those are the four areas, and I think they're helpful to consider. Selfishness with our interests, selfishness with our time, selfishness with our money, and being selfishly inconsiderate. Very practical challenges. That's from that book by Jerry Bridges, if you wanted to read it. Okay, so we've thought about the truth in God's word, that actually it's selflessness we're called to, not selfishness. We thought about some very practical areas in our lives where selfishness is exposed. So what can we do personally to help ourselves? We have to be honest that at times we all have a tendency to be selfish. I know I do. To put my needs above other people's, above my wife's, above my children's, above my work colleagues, above my brothers and sisters in Christ. So what can we do? And Jerry Bridges, again, gives some good answers to that, and I'm just going to pick out three that I thought were particularly helpful this morning. First of all, to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to enable us to deal with our selfish traits, to point them out to us, to help us to see them, and then to have the strength to deal with them and to change our mindset. Now, if you notice in that Philippians passage, it was a lot about the mind, having the mind of Christ, changing how we think about things. So that's one important thing. another. And maybe this is a little bit harder. Maybe it's a bit easier to ask God quietly in our own hearts and minds to help us with our selfishness. But the second one is to ask each other to help. To ask someone you trust who's close to you, maybe in your connect group, to point out areas where they feel you might act selfishly sometimes. Now, that's not an easy thing to ask. And to do so without then getting defensive when they tell you. No, I'm not. What do you mean? What about you? No. If you really want to deal with it, to ask someone humbly and accept and consider what they say and really bring that before the Lord. And I think thirdly, and this is a good one, just to remember, it's much easier to see all of these sins, but particularly selfishness in other people rather than in yourself. It's always much easier to see. So just be careful of that one. So, conclusion. Victory over selfishness, I think, can only come when, with Jesus' help, we stop believing the great big lie that putting ourselves first will lead to happiness, fulfillment, and a rich life. If we're not convinced that that's a lie, if we keep on believing that that's true, then it's going to be very hard to change our attitudes towards it, to put other people first. But if we can start believing what Jesus demonstrated in the most incredible way, that putting God and others first leads to wonderful blessing in our relationship with God and wonderful blessing in our relationships with each other and the world that God has given us to live in, then with God's help, we can begin to conquer this sin in our lives. But we have to recognize it's a lie. If I'd realized that this guy on the internet was lying to me, I never would have got the bed into my lounge. I never would have spent the time putting it outside. I would have left it where it was. But I believed, and so I acted. If we believe that it is better to be selfless, that that is where good fruit and good relationships and all of those things come from, then we're much more likely to be selfless in our attitude towards other people. Should we pray as we finish? Because I think it's an area where we all need God's help in. Lord Jesus, we considered quite a bit this morning your incredible, wonderful action of selflessness when you gave up your glory in heaven, came down to be a man, and to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, what a great example to us of how we should be towards our brothers and sisters in Christ and those around us. Lord Jesus, we confess and recognize that sometimes we do act selfishly. Lord, it's part of what we call our sinful nature. But thank you that for those of us who believe in you and love you, you have given us victory over that. And we're able, with your help, to live lives that are selfless, to consider other people's to consider other people above ourselves. But we desperately need your help. We ask your forgiveness for the times this week where we have acted selfishly. And we pray you'd help us in the week and the months ahead to consider what we've heard today. And with your help, to consider others as greater than ourselves, to put other people before ourselves, and to balance our own interests and needs with theirs, that we may bring you glory and that we may be shine like lights in this world that thinks that the best way is to put self first and to look after number one. So we pray you'd help us in that. In Jesus' name, amen.